Good morning. Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. Last time we were together, we were talking about three royal invitations that the Lord has given His church in Hebrews chapter 10. Three invitations that are all preceded by the words, "Let us." We were looking at the invitation to draw near in faith. He said, "Let us draw near in faith." And He's talking about fellowshipping with the Lord. But we can't do that unless we are coming into His presence with a clean heart and a clear conscience. That was our emphasis last time. Now in chapter 10 and verse 23, "Let us hold fast in hope." It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." You see, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He who calls you." Thank the Lord, we don't have to hold on to God. No, no, no. He's the one that holds on to us. He is the one that gives us assurance. And so it's not an exhortation to hold on to your salvation, but their security they discovered was in Christ and not in themselves, and how true that is for us today. Our security is not in my ability to hold on, but it's in Christ and His ability to hold me. It says in Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him." Of course, we come to God by Jesus Christ. And so it says, He is able to save us to the uttermost. That means to the total end. There's no issue with Him being able to keep us. And then it says, "Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." And so you see, we have a precious truth that God is the one who is making intercession for us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25 says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles," get it, "which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So if we've been invited to hold fast in hope, back in Hebrews chapter 10, we see that it is Christ in us that is the hope of glory. He is the one that enables me to be able to know that I don't have to hold on, but He is the one holding on to me. And so it is not an invitation to hold on to your salvation. Rather, it's an invitation to hold on to your profession of hope. See, we are partakers of the heavenly calling, and therefore we rejoice in hope. Hebrews 3:1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Verse 6, "But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." And so we see there that He's talking about the hope of our salvation. It is a special confidence that God has given us because He is holding us. In fact, hope is the one main theme of Hebrews chapter 6. Now we know when we talk about hope, we are also referring to the soon return of Christ. Colossians 1, verses 4 and 5 tell us that as we hold fast the hope that God has given us, it's referring to the promise that He has promised to return and to receive us unto Himself, as the Bible says in John 14. Now, when your hope is fixed on Christ and you rely on the faithfulness of Christ, you're never going to waver. Regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of what the trials are, you're not going to waver because you are fixed on Christ. And regardless of the difficulties that you're going through, notice Psalm chapter 130 and verse 5. The psalmist said, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope." Did you get that? In His word do I hope. And so consequently, when you're going through trials, it is in His word that you find that which God will solidify your faith. He will cause you to be reminded that His promises are sure. You don't have to base your faith on feelings. You base your faith on the written word of God. In fact, one of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," that's the Old Testament, "were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It says, "Now the God of patience," verse 5, "and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another." And so consequently, it is the Word of God, comfort of the Scriptures, see, that gives you the hope of being able to wait on the Lord. But notice verse 4 of Romans 15, that we through patience. Now, you say, "But Pastor Greg, I just don't have the patience to wait for that promise." That's why it says in verse 5 that God is the God of patience. God is the God of patience. You may not have the patience, but when you have the God of patience, you have all you need. So you are steadfast in your faith. That's exactly what 1 Peter is talking about in chapter 1 and verse 13. Steadfast in hope. And when we recognize the fact that regardless of what is taking place in our lives, we are sure that God is not shaken. It says 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Notice how important it is to be thinking clearly. "Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Hope to the end for the grace. And so we see then that we are to be not wavering during trials, but steadfast in our hope. Then go back to Hebrews chapter 10. It said, "Let us draw near with a true heart full of assurance of faith. Secondly, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Then thirdly, the third "let us" is, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." So let us encourage one another to love. That's in verses 24 and 25. It's interesting to me, we've been talking about faith, hope, and love. Wow, that sure sounds like 1 Corinthians 13:13. "Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love." And so then he says, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." So if I'm to encourage others to love, that means it's going to take place at church. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together," as a manner of some is, "but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." See, the emphasis is not on what the believer gets from the assembly, but rather on what he can contribute to the assembly. And so many times it's easy for us to just get lazy, whether you just kind of get up Sunday morning and you say, "You know, let's just kind of watch a preacher on TV or maybe our live service on the internet or something like that." You know, you can't contribute to the assembly by simply watching TV or watching a live service. You have to be present to exhort others and provoke others to love and to good works. And so consequently, the invitation for us is to encourage others to love. Now, the first way you do that is through church attendance. If you're taking notes, just write the words "show up." Show up. See, my attendance to church promotes faithfulness in the others who are watching my example. In other words, if I don't go to church much, then I'm not setting much of an example for my children, not setting much of an example for my wife. I'm not setting much of an example for the people who are watching my life and wondering about my love for God, my love for others. But my attendance to church promotes faithfulness. And so God just wants me to show up. Now, when I do that, I begin to have an impacting influence. The Bible tells us in verses 22 and 23, "My influence is by example." Hebrews 10, 22 to 23. Secondly, I have an impacting influence by my exhortation, verses 24 and 25. In other words, considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So when I get to church, I'm looking for folks that appear to be needy, that appear to necessarily need someone to pray for them or just listen. And when I ask them how they're doing, truly stop and consider what they say. If they say, oh, I guess I'm all right, that means they're not all right. That means pause and say, is there any way I can be praying for you? In other words, show up. And when I am provoking others to love and to good works, that means my presence has to be at church. That means that I put that as a high priority. It's higher than sporting activities or fishing or hunting or whatever it is. So, church attendance. And then secondly, through church membership. You see, so many times when I would talk to folks after I arrived here in Wisconsin, and I would just kind of ask people, well, how long have you been a member here at Brookside? And their head would kind of bow, and they'd say, oh, well, we're not members yet. And I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. How long you been coming? They'd hem and haw, and finally 14 years. And I'm going, uno momento, por favor. What do you mean? You've been coming to this church for 14 years? And, of course, that's an exaggeration maybe, but sometimes it wasn't. And they just didn't join. You know, if you haven't figured out in 14 years whether or not this is a church you need to join, you probably need to start visiting somewhere else. You see, God wants us to join. Back in Acts chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible talks to us about the importance of joining a church. Acts chapter 5 is referring to the body of Christ, the local church, and they were gathering together. But yet there was a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, and they lied about an offering that they had given, and the Lord killed them. God took the integrity of that body of believers very, very importantly. And so it says in verse 13, after all that happened, and the rest, that's the people that were watching, did not join himself to them. Now, in verse 11, I was talking about the church. It says, great fear came upon all the church. And so the folks that were watching said, man, we're not going to join them. But all the people magnified them. They all lifted them up. They all respected them. But the key word there is the word join. And it refers to membership in the church. It actually means to glue or cement together. You see, joining a church is God's plan for every individual Christian. Yes, he wants you to attend church, but that's not enough. It's not enough to show up. He wants you to join. The next time we get together, we're going to be looking at some passages of Scripture to help each one of us understand how important joining a local church and then becoming involved really is. If there are others that need to hear this Bible study, you got a couple of days to let them know. Join us again then. For our next broadcast, we're going to be talking about showing up, speaking up, and standing up for our Lord. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.